This is The Universe Was Made Just to Be Seen by My Eyes, written by 5 Centuries Paris, read by Mistborn Hero, a Star Wars Clone Wars podfic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Cody Obi-Wan Kenobi. Rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Cody Obi-Wan Kenobi and the friendship Cody Fox. It is tagged for Point of View Cody. Cody's name is Kote pre/. Don't ask where this is in the timeline. It is sometime after they first meet, but they're still a little awkward. Developing friendships, developing relationships. Tired Fox. He is done with bureaucracy. Getting to know each other. Clones as brothers. Brotherly affection. Summary. Cody and Obi-Wan are on Coruscant. Cody is wary of this newish general and his Jedi-ness. They converse and bump into Fox, and they might just grow a little closer. Coruscant skies are black and starless, the lights of the city a constant sunrise, flaring gold and fierce from the towers and vibrant streets. Cody misses the stars. Up on the negotiator, sure, he can see stars for miles and miles, shooting past in hyperspace and dotting the all-encompassing vacuum as they move at slower speeds through the galaxy. So many stars, sometimes, they are boring to look at. There is something different about seeing stars from planet side, though. Something majestic, unparalleled. This is the way people have been seeing stars from this planet for years. This is how they will always see them, probably. It is different on Coruscant. The light pollution bleeds up and makes the sky more brownish-gray than black, in all honesty. And really, even if you could turn out all the lights in the city that never sleeps, the space and the stars it holds would still be invisible behind the thick smog and heavy clouds. Cody leans out over the balcony, metal cold through his blocks, plastoid chestplate clacking against it as he breathes, watching the lights below and all around streaming past. It is always loud in the city, always bright. Cody hates it. Commander. He turns. Kenobi is waiting inside, bag slung over his shoulder. Cody shouldn't really be here. Not on this balcony, not in Kenobi's Coruscant apartments. Probably shouldn't have even gone down to the surface with his general. He should have stayed abroad the negotiator, or in the clone barracks, or with one of his brothers, or even stayed in the Jedi temple and awaited Kenobi's return. Kenobi isn't like the generals Cody's dealt with before, though. Even the invitation down to the surface for the tedium of gar bureaucracy, as Kenobi had put it, had been a surprise.
General, he replies, straightening up.
Admiring the city, Kenobi is smiling at him in a way that Cody doesn't quite trust as genuine.
If you have what you need, I'll escort you back to the temple, General.
Cody says.
Kenobi's face does one of those wonderfully complicated shifts that Cody hasn't quite worked out yet. He swears he will, one day, know what every minute movement means. It is imperative, as Kenobi's commander, to know, to best work with him. Commander, I didn't bring you here as an escort. I hardly need one of those in Coruscant. He smiles. Again, Cody doesn't know whether to trust it. Have you ever been to Coruscant? Kenobi still hasn't moved from the room, nor Cody from the balcony, and he doesn't know if one of them should, if Cody should step into the room with the general.
I have, sir, once or twice.
Only ever to the barracks. He has floated outside it time enough, watching it glow from the bridge of the ship. He's always thought it more beautiful from that distance, with the stars around it. You don't like it, says Kenobi, with this awful sort of certainty. Cody feels naked beneath his helmet. Kenobi's Coruscanti accent seems to thicken as he says it.
General Kenobi, sir, it's...
Kenobi laughs. You don't have to sound so worried, dear Commander. It's never been my favorite place in the world. His head tips to the side. A movement Cody has only recently worked out means that Kenobi is deadly curious and about to cause disaster. I only wonder why. There are a number of reasons I can think of, but none of them we have run into tonight. He resists the urge to turn around and look at the blank and gaping maw of the sky, keeping his eyes instead on the general. Kenobi is dangerous, the way all Jedi are. They have mind tricks, and they are fast, and chaos follows them faithful as hounds. Cody, because he was named Kote, has always been in more danger of it than his brothers, always close quarters with them as their commander, always there to suffer whatever whim they suddenly desire.
It is very bright and loud, General,
he says, finally. Kenobi watches him for a long moment, and Cody gets the feeling he's disappointed in his answer. But it has never been in Cody's training to entertain Jetty. That it is, Commander. Shall we? He waves to the door. Cody follows him, still feeling wrong-footed. Back at the Coruscant Barracks and Transport Hub, preparing to return to the negotiator, Cody stands beside his general, waiting for the guard to finally release them to a ship that can take them off the surface. There is so much paperwork, even for simple actions like this, that Cody is sometimes in awe that they get anything done at all. The mission code you're returning to the negotiator to carry out, General Kenobi? Asks the netborn behind the desk. Cody feels like snapping at him for questioning the Jetty, but he knows it won't get them anywhere when the car is deciding to be slow and zones out instead, watching Bode march past, and the Jedi run whatever Jedi feel the need to run to. He can hear his general's voice getting touchier as the questions get more inane
and feels his own impatience gnawing at his restless feet. And then Fox is there. It is always a shock to see his batchmate, even in Coruscant. He is so busy sometimes, Cody thinks he doesn't even leave his office.
Fox,
he marvels.
Cote,
says Fox with a nod, always the perfect soldier, with crisp lines.
You're trying to get a shuttle out? Unfortunately,
says Cody, eyeing the Natborn distrustfully. Ah, Commander, is this one of your brothers? Cody straightens his shoulders.
General Kenobi, this is Commander Fox, my batchmate. CC-1010 is fine, General Kenobi,
says Fox, somehow scowling at Cody, even with his bucket on.
CC-2224 is a little overfamiliar. You will have to forgive his...
Oh, no. Kenobi waves a hand, looking a little embarrassed. I'd much rather know your real name, Commander, unless you'd rather I call you by your number, of course. Commander Cody is a credit to the battalion, and it is a credit to you to be his batchmate. You must be proud. Fox stares. Cody can imagine his slow blink, reprocessing, as he's done since they were shinies.
Yes,
he says, finally.
Cote has always been one of the best of us.
Cody resists the urge, just about, to message all his brothers immediately with the news that Kenobi can make even Fox say nice things.
You always say such nice things, Foxy,
he says, hoping his vocoder masks any humor from Kenobi. The blank stare of Fox's bucket speaks volumes of future violence. Kenobi is looking between them, a little amused. Cote? He asks. Have I been saying your name wrong this whole time, Commander?
Not at all, sir. It's just Amando, a nickname from when we were shinies. It means...
Glory, I know. Kenobi is looking at him. Kenobi knows Mandoa.
Hardly a nickname, Cote. Cody is more the nickname.
Fox sniffs.
Send me your documents. I'll get your paperwork sorted for you. One of the shuttles will be here in a moment to take you back up.
That would be most helpful, Commander Fox. Kenobi turns back to the Natborn with a genial smile on his face. Cody sends Fox the details of their mission.
Thank you, Oribod. You can repay me by not repeating any of this to the others.
Fox says instantly. He snorts.
It was good to see you again, brother. Next time we're all down here. If such a time comes that we're not so deep in the trenches fighting Seppis, then yes, we'll have drinks.
Fox shoots a look over at Kenobi, who is now over at the shuttle terminal, speaking with the clone at one of the desks.
Your general seems acceptable.
Cody shrugs.
He's better than the one before. Red Orsia, me. Red Orsia, me. Be careful up there, Cote. You know, I always am.
Fox hums like he perhaps doesn't agree, and waves Cody away with one last clunk of their bambrises.
Just before he gets whisked away back to the negotiator and the war, Cody sees him in the bright white lights, straight-backed as always, bucket under his arms, and heads turned away. It doesn't matter. Cody knows Fox's face just as well as his own. I can call you Kote, Commander, if I've been calling you the wrong name this whole time. Cody swallows, feeling the rush in his gut as they shoot upwards towards the starless sky, lights of Coruscant dazzling only for a moment in the tiny windows of the shuttle. Cody's fine, General. I always thought being called Kote was a little... Gosh, Kenobi suggests with a smile. Cody really, really hopes he can trust those smiles.
Yes, sir.
He watches as they leave the atmosphere and the stars and the negotiator docked beside her peers come into view.
I don't like Coruscant because you can't see the stars, he says without thinking.
General. Kenobi is quiet for a moment. Cody doesn't dare look over at him. I've always disliked that, Commander. You would think we would get sick of the stars, the amount we see them. Cody pauses, watching the bay of the negotiator grow closer.
It's nice to see them anyway, sir. I like seeing them planetside, to see how they've always been from that spot.
He glances at Kenobi, his head cocked in that curious Tuka way of his, and he is smiling in a way that Cody can't translate in any other way than thrilled. Thrilled that Cody is... That Cody is what? Talking? Cody doesn't understand him. It is intoxicating.
We should get up to the bridge and prepare for the mission.
Kenobi looks surprised that they've even docked. He grabs the bag he took from the apartment Cody should probably never have seen. Ah, yes, we should, Commander. Cody wants to ask.
Why did you want to know?
Cody wants to ask Kenobi a lot of things. He doesn't. He just follows the General onto the ship, back to a familiar ground. Back to finding out how stars look planetside of a thousand battlefields. Cody wonders if it is just his imagination, or if he falls easier into step beside Kenobi than before. The end. Thank you for listening. I like stories about Cody being named Kote, and stories about trust growing between him and Obi-Wan. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and please remember to drink some water today.